Talk Back Jackson Sports, Jackson's Fox Sports, 101.9 FM, live from the Lead Bunker Studio, Jackson's only indoor gun range. Of course, we're brought to you by Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store, kettlebell hotspot where your functional fitness begins, and brought to you by my buds, Bud Light, Mick Ultra. Right now, we're going back to the Ray Snell Sports Line. No one knows Jackson better than Ray Snell, raysnell.com, and we're welcoming to the show here. It's such a great pleasure. I've been looking forward to this for the last couple of days. We have Will Thiemann from the MSU Network joining us. Will, it's so good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Mark. And it's really crazy that here we're sitting in July, just past the 4th, and
I know
football's practicing, basketball's practicing. It's amazing all the activity, which just a couple years ago is a downtime.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just looking forward to talking about football, and it's my favorite time of the year. It's my favorite season, and it's just, we're finally getting back to that point where we can talk about college football, and I'm just so excited for the season this year.
Well, it's really interesting to watch how everybody's adapted to the name and likeness and the new recruiting rules and the portal. And I'd like to say one thing about the portal. For some reason, a lot of people see this as a bad thing. But at the end of the day, if a player gets a chance to go to a better situation or there's a coaching change or whatever, it just enhances his chance to play and his whole educational experience. So In some ways, I know there's a lot of things that need to be refined or smoothed out, but the basic idea where a guy can just transfer one time and play right away, the one great thing that does, Mark, it takes the NCAA out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a lot of people complain, like, wow, why did this guy get to play right away and that guy couldn't, things like that. Well, now it's kind of a black and white deal. So you transfer, you play or you don't play. But we've taken the arbitrary decision-making out of it, and I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's kind of a love-hate because I like it when it works out well for my team. But on the other side of it, I'm not a fan of it when my team loses a guy. And also, I was listening to Fox Sports a while back, and I think it was Colin Cowherd was talking about it, saying, well, these are young men that have to learn how to come face to face with their decisions. And if they make a bad decision at first, how is that helping them grow as an individual? Instead of learning how to deal with their mistakes, maybe they just made the wrong choice going to the certain school. How does that help them grow, this young man grow and facing their decisions, as opposed to being able to just say, I'm out of here, on to the next?
Well, everybody's got an opinion, right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing about it. And again, there's the situations are all very different. Yeah. I just go back to the running back a year ago that just took Michigan State by storm, which was Walker. And think about this. We have a guy who should have been invited to New York as a Heisman finalist, the best running back, was voted the best running back in the nation and the best running back in the Big Ten, all these sort of things, and helped power MSU to that wonderful 11-2 season last year. But in the case of Walker, here's a guy down in Wake Forest, and we saw what he could do here. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that was told he didn't fit in. Now, he could stay on the team and be on scholarship and work towards his degree, but at the end of the day, he was not going to start, and they told him he just didn't fit in. Now, I can't imagine that young man not fitting in anywhere he wanted to be, but here's a case where he knew, the last couple years that he had of his college life as a football player, he knew that basically Wake Forest, even though he was their top ground gainer, was going to see limited action.
Yeah.
So when you get a situation like that, and he was such a fine, he's a fine human being. So there's a chance where the portal helps him.
Right.
He gets to go to a place where he's needed, he's welcomed, and which helps him have a great college experience. So there's a lot of reasons to leave. Some are good or some are not so good, but I don't think you can paint it with one brush. I think it's an individual thing. But to have the opportunity to do something like he did and other players like that, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. And being a Michigan fan, I can still appreciate what he did against that Michigan defense last year. He just ran all over the Wolverines.
Kenneth Walker was just special. I mean, think about this. The first game against Northwestern, right? The very first play from the offense for the whole year, he goes for a touchdown, 78 yards, wherever it was. Right around the left side, boom, gone. And so you're going through that, and I ask him why he transferred. This was before the season ever started. Uh-huh. That's when he told me the story that they told him he didn't fit. And so as I'm watching this guy on the first play of the whole season go for a touchdown, and he had obviously more touchdowns to come, you're going, how could he not fit anywhere?
Right.
And so I don't know. It's just, it's pretty amazing. He was an amazing young man. And the other thing about, you know, Walker that sort of got lost in translation, when people vote for these awards or whatever, you know, it's easy to go be on the lazy side a little bit and just look at numbers. Mm-hmm. But with Kenneth Walker, he didn't get to play. The line in front of him wasn't world class, okay? So I'm trying to imagine what Kenneth Walker could have done with the Alabama line in front of him.
Right.
And if people didn't think he made a difference, when we went to the Peach Bowl to play Pittsburgh and didn't have Kenneth Walker, well, the offensive line didn't look near as good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got to see a special guy and you know, and one of the things I always say to my Michigan friends, and it's true, I do have some, when they, you know, they talk about their great year. And was it? Won a Big Ten championship, got in the college football playoffs. This is all good stuff. So I listen to it, and I, you know, I'm being a little bit of a smart aleck. I go, well, what was your regular season record? And it was 11-1, right? Which leads me into the big question, well, who'd you lose to?
Oh boy, I remember. I was so hot after that game. I mean, not really, because Michigan deserved to lose that game. They really did. And I mean, it's just I'm still critical of the Michigan head coach because he hasn't been able, even though they had a great season last year, still hasn't been able to pull it all together. Not consistent against Ohio State. Not consistent against Michigan State. Gets embarrassed in the bowl games. It's, I mean, I'm not 100% behind Harbaugh, but that's a topic for a different day. Let's scoot over a little bit to NIL, because I feel like my time's limited here today, but I want to talk about NIL, and I kind of get the feeling that Michigan State and their supporters might be starting to find the sweet spot in working the NIL to really benefit the football program.
Well, I think they are, but I think there's a couple things going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of it starts with Coach Tucker. And I think one of the things that helps Mel and his staff is that because of his NFL background, when the NFL drafts players, obviously they're trying to find, you know, good players, and when they make trades, they're looking to get better. But the NFL has also become a place where they focus on character a little bit. And one of the great skills Mel has, besides the high energy level, and his staff is incredible, mm-hmm. is he goes in to the portal, number one, and he's looking, and there's transfer kids. They have found a way to figure out off-the-field character issues. Which guys have great character, like, say, Kenneth Walker? Which guys fit in the locker room? And so he's been able to get new players to help that fit in right away, which is amazing. That's a skill. But in the name and likeness situation, I mean, it's just the reality that even though technically a player can't say to the coach, well, what's the NIL deal? You can't technically do that. But at the end of the day, all these really, really gifted players, regardless of the sport, I mean, they can make a nice piece of money off their name and likeness. And so for somebody to say, we're not going to get ready to be competitive there, well, then that's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And all schools at this level, you know, in the Big Ten's a wonderful conference. I'm still getting used to thinking Southern Cal and UCLA might be in it, which they are going to be.
Right.
That sounds a little crazy, but at the end of the day, we build nice stadiums and arenas, and we have great workout facilities, and we do all of these things. And so you got to be competitive there, but at the end of the day, this NIL thing, you do have to rally your troops, because that's also now a part of it. And I really believe, Mark, that the coaches that don't embrace this are going to be left at the altar at times, and it will hurt them, because it's not illegal to do it. It's part of the recruiting process. And if you don't embrace it, it's foolishness.
100% agree. 100% agree. You look at what's happening with these young kids really before the NIL. You got schools making money off of their hard work, coaches making money off of their hard work, organizations, you know, businesses making money off of their hard work. And yeah, they're getting a high quality education, the opportunity to advance themselves to the next level, but they're not getting a paycheck until, you know, 4 years down the road. To me, it's a matter of fairness. If everybody else is able to make money off of these young kids, they should be able to make some money off of their hard work too.
Yeah, and I think what really triggered it, the video games for one, all the money made by EA Sports and the players represented got zip. But I mean, think about this: we have football coaches making $10 million a year.
Right.
Okay. Well, you get with the market bears. That's nothing. I have no problem with that. If you're worth it, you're worth it. But at the end of the day, if there's that kind of money available for a head coach and millions available for coordinators on an annual basis, you're telling me that the guys who make it happen get nothing?
Right.
So I've often thought if the salaries weren't like they are for the administrators and the coaches, maybe this wouldn't be a big issue. But those numbers that we just talked about, they're not made up. They're real.
Right.
So if you got $10 million for head coach, how can you not allow a young man who makes it all possible get something?
Right.
And if it's football, I mean, you can be great and you can be projected as an NFL first round pick, but what if you get hurt?
Right. Exactly.
Then you get nothing. So yeah. I just think it's fair. And the other thing it did, there's programs notorious for laying around in the gray area. Well, now what's really happened is, you know, those who've been doing some of this stuff anyway under the table, now that everybody can just do it. And again, we're wiping out, I think, a layer of cheating, and it's just more upfront now and probably more fair.
In the grand scheme of things, when you look at the powerhouses in the Big Ten, you look at the powerhouses in the SEC, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, do you really see a shift in any of those powerhouses, or the programs that are succeeding are going to continue to succeed?
No, I don't think we're going to see any difference because the guys who were good before NIL, they were good for a reason, right?
Right.
And so now they just embraced a new element of the whole thing. And the other thing that's interesting, I know we're talking football here, but think about this one. There's this wonderful basketball player in Iowa on the women's team. Her name is Clark. I mean, she's amazing to watch play basketball. And so she has a COVID year, so she could actually play 5 years for Hawkeyes. So this summer I was at an event in Iowa, and I asked the head of their communication department, did he think she would come back for a fifth season? And he said, absolutely, because she makes more money on NIL than she would make in the WNBA as a first-round pick.
Wow, yeah.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy. That is crazy. Well, let's talk about the football Spartans here for a little bit more. Let's talk about the season coming up. How approaching the season, I mean, even though it still feels like it's a ways away, approaching the season here, how do you feel the season's going to pan out for the Spartans this year?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's sometimes you can get better but not win as many games. And by the way, I am not setting up some disclaimer here. So you go last year, you go 11-2, you beat Michigan. These are all good things. You win the Peach Bowl. But I think – I don't know if this team is going to win 11 games. I know it's going to be competitive and make a run at the East and the Big Ten title. But I think the team overall, Mark, is going to be better.
Okay.
You'd be really better if Walker had come back. But at the end of the day, what has happened is that if you're going to look at the big picture here, defensively, they have filled a lot of holes. And a lot of guys are coming back that now have the experience you need. And so I think defensively, the team is going to be better.
Okay.
Offensively, you know, the line will be a little bit better. And, you know, at the end of the day, it always starts with the quarterback. And if you don't have good quarterback, it's hard to be very good. And obviously, Michigan State's got that. So you're going to have, you know, a solid returning quarterback. You're going to have veteran receivers. Tight ends are going to be pretty good. And so you have these skilled guys that are good, and line probably average, but average would work in this thing. And you got 45 guys coming back that earn letters, and it's interesting. 21 on the offensive side and 22 on the defensive side. So there's a lot to go around, but Peyton Thorne, a quarterback, is such a bright guy. I mean, he just knows football, and he has skill to go with it. So I think this team is going to score more points. So the issue is going to be, does it stay healthy? Well, that offensive line did not stay real healthy last year. Is it going to win the close games again? Is it going to get a little lucky? I mean, this ball club a year ago, I mean, Mark, big comeback to win the Peach Bowl, big comeback to beat Michigan. There's a lot of these kind of games. Does that repeat? You just don't know. But I think the team is going to be better. And the other thing that's interesting, and this is something that's really that's caught my eye about Mel Tucker and his staff, and you don't even see this unless you're on the sidelines. But, you know, there are some coaches, when you don't do well and you come out, their idea of motivating you is to belittle you, yell at you, that kind of thing. Let's say you have a bad moment or a bad series and you're coming out and you're greeted by either Coach Tucker or a position coach. And this is universal with these guys. You know, their approach is, look, we know you can do this, so let's figure out what we got to do to get you there. And so even when the moment is a little testy, it's still a positive moment. This whole group is about, we know you can do it. Let us help you get there. And these kids love playing for Mel Tucker. They love it. And that's one of the reasons why we're getting some of these transfers coming in. They just want to play for Mel Tucker. And when you get that kind of dynamic going, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
Let's talk about the Big Ten. It's changed. And it could possibly change more depending on when Notre Dame makes whatever decision they're going to make. But USC, UCLA, it just sounds weird. I don't even know if I really believe it yet. But they're part of the Big Ten now. Let's talk about the conference as a whole. Good thing, bad thing. What do you think about the expansion?
Well, number one, I'm in shock.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Right.
And thanks to that move, looking at Twitter that evening, I really enjoyed some of the tweets about pictures of what a broom would look like getting ready to play outside in Minneapolis in November. These were really funny things.
Right.
But we on a show we do on SiriusXM, and I think you guys carry it too. It's called The Sports Life.
Yeah, we do.
But anyway, we did a wonderful interview that's going to air in this week's show with Mike DeCourcy. And for those who are not familiar with Mike, he writes for the Sporting News. He's in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, and he's most noted for he's maybe the best basketball writer in the country, collegiately speaking. But we had him on to not talk about what do you think about it, but the repercussions of it. And he brought up a really interesting thing, and it was the plus minus on the money stuff. And so if you add those two, what are the pluses on the cash end? Well, it's Los Angeles. It's high profile. And even if, let's say, the University of Washington is better in that conference, they don't bring the market or the potential increased TV revenue that those two do. And so I understand what the Big Ten did, but think about this. Less than a year ago, Mark, we had the ACC, the Big Ten, you know, in the Pac-12 do their alliance, right?
Yeah.
As a reaction to Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. So the underlying move there was, we're not going to poach teams from one another. In less than a year, yeah, we grab the two high-profile teams in the Pac-12. So that was a little crazy for me. But at the end of the day, I think what we've come to grips with here is that we're sort of trading tradition for cash. Let's just go to the old days, the Rose Bowl, you know, the then Pac-10 and the Big Ten. Well, that tradition's gone.
It's gone.
And so a lot of football traditions have gone by the wayside. Okay. The bowl system is almost getting obsolete, because when we expand this college football playoff, does anybody care about the Hoochie-Coo Bowl? No.
No.
They care about the playoffs.
Oh, well, they didn't care about the Peach Bowl. You had Kenneth Walker and Kenny Pickett both sitting out. And it happens every bowl game, unless it's a playoff bowl game. You've got key matchups, Jabril Peppers, sitting out. Bowl games don't mean anything anymore.
No, because remember the tight end that Michigan had? His last name was Butt.
Yeah, Jake Butt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a great name for a tight end? So here's this guy. He's a good guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's a great player, and he elects to play in the Michigan bowl game, and he gets hurt. I mean, he's a first-round pick, and then he gets hurt in a bowl game that really, in the history of the University of Michigan, didn't mean much. And so you can see why the young men are doing that. They got too much to risk.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, think about it. Michigan State and Peach Bowl is playing against a third-team quarterback at Pittsburgh. I mean, yeah, it's a little goofy, but it always seems to adjust. But at the end of the day, people wanted a playoff system for college football. Well, we're going to get it.
Yep.
And the price will be some traditions will be lost. And that's just the way it's going to be. But we were just talking about, say, basketball. So Michigan State's going to go out and play UCLA. Well, you're just guessing that we'll play Southern Cal too while we're out there, right? You're not going to go coast to coast for one game, are you? It could wind up being, depending on how this all shakes out, almost a little mini NBA kind of thing. Well, you go on the road for a week.
It's going to be a couple trips, at least a couple trips out west, because they've got – I'm excited for that November 11th game with MSU versus Gonzaga. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
I bet.
You know.
And just don't flip off the ship and we're good.
That's right. That's right. Well, as always, it's a pleasure. I thank you so much for your time. We're kind of out of time for this one today, but I'm looking forward to our next conversation. Maybe we can catch a mid-football season or something.
Well, Mark, that'd be great. And don't forget, September 2nd, East Lansing, Western Michigan. And we'll all kick it off. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we are. We're looking forward to airing all those games right here on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Stay safe, Will. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
It's Talkback Jackson Sports on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.